Hello, and thank you for listening to Weekend Warriors Hockey, the official podcast of the Weekend Warriors Adult Hockey Academy. And we are here for episode 11 of season two. Took us about a month to get the previous episode done between episodes. And here we are about a week later, back recording another one. So if you do have any show topic ideas or any feedback, go ahead and email us at info@weekendwarriorshockey.com. I'm Austin, and I've got joining me the Chief Executive Warrior, Rick Parisi, and Weekend Warriors Adult Hockey Academy Head Coach, Rob Boyle. Rick, how are you doing today?
I'm doing excellent. How are you, Austin?
Very good. Thank you. And Rob, how are you today?
I'm good. Thanks. Good to be here.
Good, good. All right. So last episode, just a reminder, it was episode 11 of season two. We just discussed tips for puck protection. And during that discussion, Coach Rob reminded everyone, including myself, of the five elements players need to remember when your team has the puck, which are, and this is going to lead into what we're going to talk about today. So that's why I wanted to remind everyone, make yourself available or move to space, support the person with the puck, communicate with your teammates, read the play and take what's available or what the other team is going to allow you to do. All right, so we're going to follow up on those fundamentals and we're going to talk a little bit today about how you create more scoring chances and hopefully can then score some more goals. So again, those five things.
I'm so proud of you.
Thank you. Yeah. Well, just for the listeners out there, I did not go off the top of my head with that. I actually wrote them down. But but it does feel nice for Coach Rob to be proud of me. So all five of those tips are going to come into play because my understanding and reading through this and doing it myself, if we don't do those five things, the next things we're going to talk about creating more chances and scoring more goals is going to be very hard to do. So again, we're going to use a USA Hockey article. This one dates back to May of 2019 and it's titled Create More Chances, Score More Goals. We'll have a link in the show notes page, but basically in Coach Rob, this is in your wheelhouse again. The bottom line, the way that the article is laid out is there's four different elements they have under the idea of always ready, which includes stick on the ice, present your forehand, be open to the puck and ready to shoot, and then find areas on the ice where you're open, which sounds a lot to me like make yourself available and take what's given to you and supporting. So all those things go into play. What are your thoughts on kind of those concepts of stick on the ice, presenting your forehand, being open to the puck, being ready to shoot, and then finding areas on the ice where you're open?
I agree with them all. I think that when you talk about some of those things, they're just habits, right? They're just good habits to have. And you know, when I do a practice with my teams, I kind of emphasize a lot of those things just in terms of, you know, stick on the ice. That's a good habit to get into. We talk about it at camp as well. Being ready to shoot, that puck comes to you, you gotta be ready for it. You can't, it's almost like you have to make that decision, you know, what am I going to do with the puck when it comes to me? You're kind of thinking about what your options are before the puck even gets to you. When it gets to you and you're still thinking about it, it might be too late. So definitely agree with all those things. There were a couple things in that article I'm not sure I did agree with, or one in particular that sure. I did not agree with. And you definitely want to practice with intent. So that definitely comes down to developing habits, which again, as an adult league player, you may not have the opportunity to do that if you're not practicing with a team on a regular basis. Like the off-ice training, you can always work on your shot. You can always work on stick handling. If you don't have a partner, difficult to work on passing, but there are things out there that you can buy that would help you and assist with you in developing some passing skills. So, in the article says, if you learn to create opportunities, the goals will come. But if you do not make the defense or the goalies move, react and make choices, then you'll never create enough scoring chances to be successful. I agree with that to an extent, but I also disagree with it a little bit. You do see a lot of different things in terms of creating scoring chances. You think about shot off the pads. Yes, make yourself available. Open up the pucks for one-time shots. You can, in the article, I can't find it. I'm looking at it now. I can't remember what it says. Odd man rushes, rebounds are scoring opportunities that good teams need to bear in these situations and make goals react quickly. Sometimes even make them guess where the shot is coming from. I agree with that. So that wasn't what I was looking for. Anyway, he goes on to say something to the effect that goalies are so good right now with this, that, and the other thing. But we still see, especially at higher levels, guys that can still score off the shot. So obviously people that come to mind are players like Austin Matthews and Alex Ovechkin, and yes, they're great players, but really they have great shots, quick releases. You know, they don't waste time with the puck. They're shooter, they're shot first mentality. So again, I'll use kind of the example of Gretzky, who is really considered a setup guy, but even though he scored all those goals. So you can have a different, you can have also have a shot mentality like those guys, and you're able to, you know, maybe score some more goals. But I mean, there's a lot of good information in the article for sure. But I still think there is an opportunity to develop your shot and keep working on your shot and your release. That can also provide an opportunity to score goals.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't think it was intended as you had mentioned that it's a end all be all article that has all the different secrets to unlock. Certainly there's a lot of things you can do. So let's talk maybe quickly, because we probably all see it out there, the stick on the ice piece. Why is that so fundamental in the offensive zone when you're trying to score?
Well, so just because I want to, I'm going to put you on the spot again, Austin. So one of the first things we talk about before we get into passing at camp, what is the one thing that we 99.9% of the time say?
Well, I mean, I guess I'm not quite following you there, but I guess I think when I think of stick on the ice, you're presenting a target. You're showing where you want the puck to go to someone who has the puck.
Very good.
So well, I'm not sure if that's what you were looking for.
Very good. So it takes two people to make a good play, right? So everything right. You said is right on. So you want to present your stick, put your stick in a spot where, you know, it could be underneath another stick. Like it can put your stick in a spot where you're going to be able to receive a pass or deflect a pass or shoot a pass.
Right.
So everything you said is correct. I was just trying to get you again. But yeah, it takes two people to make a good pass. You want to communicate that. And that's a form of communication. Just having your stick on the ice, being ready for the puck is a form of communication. Yeah. You can verbalize, but if the pucker has their head up and you can put your stick in the right spot, I mean, that's definitely communication. So, again, we talked about one of those five things. That is definitely one of those five things, communicating and getting your stick in the right position is part of communication or is a way to communicate.
Yeah. It, I mean, to me, the stick on the ice encapsulates all five of those things we went over before. You've moved to a space that you're available. If your stick is not on the ice, I mean, it may not be the case, but if you've done it correctly, you've now made yourself available, meaning your stick available. You're in a place where you can support the puck, meaning you can actually, you know, we talk about being open and being available, two different things, right? And then obviously the communication, it's a nonverbal communication because we don't do the beaver tail slap. We're not allowed to do that. You've read the play.
Remember things.
Yeah. We've read the play if you've done the first three things there. And then, you know, you're right. You may be what might be available is, like you said, getting your stick under somebody else or just getting into a spot where your stick is available for a deflection. The other part I see with the stick on the ice, especially in men's league, is the amount of time it takes you to get your stick back down on the ice if it's up in the air when the pass is coming to you. I see it all the time. Sticks are up in the air. The puck just goes right through somebody because they were not ready to receive a pass. So, I mean, even if you might not be the first option for a pass, you never know where it's going to go. And it might slide through four or five different feet, three different blades, and then end up on your stick. But if your stick's in the air, it's not, you can't do anything with it. So that's just something I see all the time.
You know, one thing that we also talk about, and Nate always brings this up, Coach Nate brings this up quite a bit, is that, you know, it's not just a case of being a good passer, but being a good receiver. Like it's not going to be tape to tape every time. So you have to have the ability to, even if you present a target, you still want to have that ability to receive that pass, even if it's not perfect, right? And still be able maybe to create an offensive opportunity there. So just having your stick on the ice makes it that much easier to adjust if the pass isn't necessarily where you want it to be. So again, just another good reason for having your stick on the ice.
You know, so often you see guys with their stick kind of at waist level, and, you know, so you're like, you have to guess where to pass it.
Exactly.
And you're also guessing, are they ready for it? I mean,
exactly.
They seem to be, but I don't know, you know, maybe they're not ready for it. So, like you said, it's putting it down there as a form of nonverbal communication.
Yeah. And you could be putting it down there knowing that the pucks might have to travel a little ways and then get your stick back up in the air once it's on its way and be able to do a one timer if you're able to. I think a lot of people try and do that, like the Alex Ovechkin, where he just has his stick up above his head and he's waiting for about 18 seconds for the puck to make it to him.
Yeah, but
Alex Ovechkin. He's the greatest scorer, yeah, you know, of our generation. So,
that's the funny part. And we see this at camp a lot. This is where I was wanting to go with this, is that, you know, or someone on your team complains that they didn't get a good pass. Well, where was your stick, dude? Like, I see that a lot at camp. Like, you don't have your stick in the right spot and the pass goes by them. So again, present your stick where you want the puck. And that's the other thing. The second part of that is, if you're the passer, put the puck where they want it, not where you think they want it. So if there is a good target, put it there. Don't put it where you think it needs to be. Put it where they want it. So if they're presenting a good target, that's where you want to pass the puck. If they're not, well, then that's on them.
Yeah, I think that's all good stuff. And I definitely, you know, I guess what I was trying to verbalize earlier is what Rick hit on exactly, which is when you put that stick down, you're presenting where you want the puck to be. And that allows the passer to have a better opportunity to put it where you want. Presenting your forehand, I think, is pretty obvious. I think we're all relatively better on our forehand than we are on a backhand, but not all situations allow you to present the forehand. It could just be that you're presenting your stick and your backhand is the best just because of where you are. What's open on the ice might be the best thing you do. But if you can get your forehand, I think that's always easier for most people. And then the other part that I kind of wanted to go into a little bit here was they talk about a little bit about, obviously, you mentioned not everybody has the ice time to do this, but the value of small area games when it comes to doing this kind of stuff. Can you talk a little bit about that, Coach Rob?
Well, yeah, I think the reason we do a lot of small area games is that is all that. It's like you have to make quick decisions. You don't have a lot of time with the puck, so you're going to have to shoot quickly. You got to make decisions quickly. You know, you might have to move the puck quickly. So all those things are involved with small area games. I can tell you with my team right now, we have at our facility, we opened up it's not quite half sheet, probably like a third sheet. And we have one practice a week on that third sheet where we do small area stuff. So it's quick shots, quick passes. You don't have time to think about it. You got to get open. You got to put your stick in the right spot and you got to get a shot off all within a small period of time. So, the value of it is tremendous, and that's why we do small area games at camp, is that to try to promote all those things. I see very, very high value in small area games. You know, if you get an opportunity to play a 3-on-3 at your rink, just cross ice, I know we used to do tournaments, 3-on-3 cross ice tournaments all the time. It's great for that type of development where you don't have a lot of time to make decisions with the puck. So I highly encourage all players, if they have that opportunity to do that, to go ahead and give it a try.
Yeah. Yeah. And that kind of leads into the kind of one of the final pieces you already mentioned that they had talked about it, which is practicing with intent. And I think the idea there is if you're able to go out and practice, because not all of us are, but if you get some stick time or something like that, have an idea of what you want to do when you go out there, whether it's skating, certain drills you want to work on, or in this case, it's actually talking about moving with the puck, having someone who maybe is paired up with you that you can work on shooting and passing at the same time. So is there anything with that, Rob, you wanted to kind of emphasize or highlight?
Yeah, so let's go with practicing with intent. So I can tell you from my practices with my team, and our other coaches will tell you the same thing. We have something that we want to work on specifically, maybe a couple of things specifically for that practice. So we go out there with the intent of doing just that and always developing good habits. The part with, you know, I have no problem if you're going to stand around, you want to shoot 50 pucks to kind of work in your shot. That's perfectly fine with me. I don't see a problem with that. The reality is a lot of times you're not going to be standing still. So it's okay to stand there and practice your shot. I have no problem with that, but don't be afraid to, you know, throw out a couple of phones. And if you're on your own, just skate around and try to shoot in motion. You can skate straight at the net, shoot in motion, but try to take different angled approaches. But if you have a partner or a buddy out there with you, and you can do some stuff where you're moving and shooting and receiving a pass all at the same time, all good stuff. You know, definitely get out there and practice that. So if you know you're going to have a partner, hey, let's do this today. I'm going to skate down here. I'm going to turn around this phone, and pass me the puck when I get ready to go here. And you're moving and you know, you got to get the shot off while you're moving. Little things like that can go a long way in your game. So if you can get out to a stick and puck with a buddy and do that, that's awesome. If you get up there and stick and puck with yourself and you throw a couple of phones on there, awesome. All right. So it's all good. I mean, I don't have any problem with you. Like I said, standing still and working on your shot, because you can still work on the fundamentals, no questions asked. But don't just do that. Try to get moving a little bit as well.
Right. And I think it goes back to also, in my mind, something Rick brought up last time, which was even if you're only able to play like drop in or pickup, you can still do these things with intent while you're out there doing that. And Rick brought that up last time about maybe today I'm going to work on that stick on the ice kind of thing specifically, or presenting the forehand or both of those, or making a concerned effort to move into those areas on the ice where I can get I'm more available for a pass and I'm ready to shoot. So.
Yeah. I mean, just pick one thing, Like, if you're going to a drop in, nobody cares what the score is, right? It's drop in.
Right. Some people do, but.
Well, then they need to rethink their lives a little bit, but.
Think about where you're shooting. Like in terms of like, are you practicing? Like, are you just trying to go bar down every time, or are you just shooting it into the center of the net, you know, of an empty net? Or are you saying, okay, where's a good spot to shoot? Like I practice, I'm a lefty, so I feel like my best scoring opportunity is usually, you know, the goalie's right. So they're blocker side about, you know, 12 to 15 inches above the ice, right? A hard spot for them to get to. And sometimes they're going to line up on my body, not my stick. So I feel like I have a little more room on that side usually. So that's where I practice shooting a lot of times, you know, that spot.
Just to distinguish that a little bit. So and what Rick's talking about is exactly right. But that's really the skill of scoring. And I think I said this last podcast or a couple podcasts ago, that there's a difference between creating offense and scoring. I think those are two separate skills. And what Rick's talking about is scoring specifically, right? So, you know, we've done a thing at camp where the puck has eyes, you know, just because you can't see something doesn't mean the puck can't see it. And what Rick's also talking about is just that, find something that works for you. Like everybody has a go-to, you know, move, unless you're Pavel Datsyuk. We had probably about 10 different moves that all seem to work very well. Find something that works for you. When you're talking actually about this, when you get into talking about actually exploring moves, it goes back to the Ovechkin and Matthews theory. They have great shots. They know what they like to shoot. Matthews is more of a low, just over the pad type guy. Ovechkin just fire the puck and just manages, it goes in somehow. You know, moving into the right areas, like you said, having the habits of keeping your stick on the ice, getting to certain spots on the ice, and creating offense that way is really two different things, really. But, you know, they go hand in hand, obviously.
And then on this topic, the last thing, I promise, was something Rob had mentioned last time. They mentioned in the article, a great way to do this, especially if you don't have a lot of time off ice, is to watch high-end hockey. Watch what professional players are doing. You might not be able to do it, obviously, to the same level as them, but see how they get open. See how they present their stick. See how they find those areas in the ice where they're open. And just kind of study that. And I think that's a huge thing that adults can do, even if it's just one period of hockey a couple times a week that you can watch. It seems to be valuable from my perspective when I watch it and see what they do. So
again, having your stick on the ice and trying to get to an available space is not a skill. It's hard work and a habit. right? It's not really not hard to do. So again, I'll refer to our offensive talk. That when we show the video of the NHL players, I always say, don't get caught up in the great shots or the great, puck receptions, as one with Crosby, where he brings it through his legs. But I don't want him to pay attention to that. What I want him to pay attention to is getting to spots, driving lanes, and creating offense that way. It's not a skill. It's just hard work, right? A lot of it's just hard work. Shooting is definitely a skill, and I'm not denying that. But the creating the offense part of it is just a lot of hard work. It doesn't involve a lot of, not a lot of skill, because you still have to skate and get from point A to point B and stuff like that. But I think it takes more hard work and less skill to accomplish that.
Yeah. Yep. I think that's a great point too. So,
and talking about something that, is hard work and not skill is, and I didn't see it talked about in the article at all, but I think it's an important thing to learn or habit is screening the goalie, like getting in front of the goalie. And it's something, and we see it at camp all the time, where people, they get off to the side. They don't get in front of the goalie and they don't understand. Like, it is the one, I won't say it's the easiest thing to do. It's the simplest thing to do. Like, it doesn't take any skill. It takes some guts. You're going to stand in front of the goalie. The goalie's going to get crazy. He's probably going to, whack you in the back or do something, push you out of the way. But that's part of your job. Like, you take away his eyes, makes him crazy. He starts getting off his game because he's trying to get you. And I can't tell you how many times our team has scored a goal. Not me personally, if I'm in front of the net, but our team has scored a goal because I got in front of the net and just took away the goalie's eyes and screened him.
Yeah, that kind of goes to the quote Rob read out of the article, which was, if you don't make the defense and goalie move, react, and make choices, you're probably not going to create enough scoring chances to be successful sometimes. And just doing that causes all of them to make some type of choice.
They have to adjust, right? They have to adjust. And if we're not getting in front of the goaltender, it's just easy for them to stand there. I'll pick that off. No problem.
Yeah. Same thing as driving the net, even though you might not get the puck. If you're not hitting that as hard as you can, pulling that defenseman back into the goalie's lap, creating that lane, you've kind of failed at that, supporting your teammates there. Anyway. All right. So I think that's a good discussion on the idea of creating more chances and scoring more goals and how it ties into everything we talked about last week, whether it's with, once you've protected the puck, now you've got it. Now you're doing all the five elements in your offensive zone that we talked about. Now you just got to put the puck in the back of the net. And that happens when you create the chances. So, we'll close it there. Thanks everyone for joining us. We do hope you enjoyed the episode. And if you do have show topic ideas or questions, please contact us. Again, the email is info@weekendwarriorshockey.com. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram if that's easier. Just go ahead and share us with a friend. And if you can, leave a 5-star Apple Podcast review if you enjoyed the podcast. And until next time, keep working hard at improving each time you're out on the ice.